We're just going to talk from Hebrews 12, just for a couple of minutes, the first two verses. I wrote it down so I didn't, you know, destroy my Bible in the diaper bag. But therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when I read over this morning, the little part that says, for the joy set before him, stuck out at me. This is, I'm just an aside. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning. But it just hit me just for a moment that the joy set before him at the cross that helped him go to the cross was reconciliation with you. That was the joy. That's what made him go. That was what he was looking forward to, was just the reconciliation with us. So there would no longer be a separation between us and God. So the Lord wanted me to say that for somebody this morning. I don't ask questions anymore. My favorite part of that verse, and it's been my favorite part of that verse since I was young, was the look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, some translations have that as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, which is also great because the pioneer, Jesus, has gone before us, showing us the way. He's the perfecter. He's bringing us to a wholeness, a completeness in him. But being a literary person, the author and finisher has always really hit my heart. So I want this morning to just think about ourselves and our lives and our journeys as books this morning. All right? So if we are a book and our life is a story, we have one author, right? Which is God. He's writing our story. He's the one that's turning every page. It's going to be his choice when he puts the period at the end, right? God is holding the pen. And so when we think about it like that, I actually appreciate that the rest of the chapter 12 in Hebrews is about hardship and trials and discipline. Because what does an author do when he's writing a story? You know, he chooses his characters, he's choosing his sentences, setting, he starts laying it all out on a page, and when he gets the story down, he starts to edit it, right? He starts looking closely at the character. Like, the whole story is his. He's laid it all out, but suddenly he starts to look to perfect it. And so what does he do? He starts rounding out the story. He starts adding details. He starts broadening horizons, right? And then he starts looking. He starts looking really, really closely. He starts looking at inconsistencies and plot holes and things that don't really fit and really shouldn't be there for the story that he's trying to tell, right? So what does that feel like for us as the character, right? Because if we insert ourselves in as the character of the story and suddenly an editor is coming in with a red pen, right? With a red pen. It's a whole nother word about the blood of Jesus there, but with a red pen coming in and he starts excising things, right? He starts cutting things out. And sometimes those are things that we thought we liked about ourselves, right? You know, like I grew up really valuing my independence. You know, that was a big value in my house growing up. Like, you should be independent. Like, you shouldn't need to ask for help. You know, you could fix it yourself. And so, you know, I grew up thinking, I know what I'm doing. I'm self-reliant. But that's not God's story for me. God's story is like, no, 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 no. You're relying on one and it's not yourself. And so what does he do? He starts putting you in situations where you start realizing, oh, no, I don't have it. I don't, like, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I'm not as independent as I thought I was, you know. But he starts taking his pen and he starts crossing things out. But the thing was, the Lord crosses things out, he writes something new. Right? He writes something new on your heart. And so we're going through this process of editing because he's refining, you know? And sometimes we think of discipline as punishment, but discipline and disciple share the same root, right? It's training us in the way we should go. Because what would happen if I were to be like, no, 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 God, I like that about myself. No, 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 God, that's mine. You know, what would happen? I would start taking the story in a direction it wasn't meant to go. Right? And that's not, I'm not writing the book. Right? He's coming in and he's saying, no, this is my story. I have a message to say. And so for the good of the message, that's got to go, right? Because Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, right? Now, some people translate that as we are surrounded by so great a cloud of examples of people who have gone before us. Because in the Greek, witnesses and martyrs share the same word, right? So these are witnesses. We have examples of people who have gone before us, who finished the race well. But here's the thing. The gospel has one message, and that is Jesus, right? But to the world, we are the only gospel they're ever going to read. So they're looking at us as the message, right? People who claim to be the message, right, have got to live the message. Oh man. So that's what I was thinking of the other day. As we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Because our races, I mean, all of our races are different, but they all have some things in common, right? Because the way is not always easy. Right? Our journeys, our lives are full of mountaintops and valleys. You know, our God is a God of the sunshine and the shadow. Right? There are good times and there are really, really, really hard times. But what does Romans 5 tell us? To consider it all joy, my brothers, when we encounter trials, because that produces, because perseverance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint us. So as we're going through this journey, when things are good and when things are bad, or hard, rather, James says all good gifts come down from the Father of heavenly lights, right? In which there is no shadow of change. So every good gift comes from God. And then in Romans it says God will work all things for good. So the things that aren't immediately good to us are good for us, provided we remain in Jesus. And that's why here in Hebrews it says, you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That phrase, keep your eyes on, in the Greek is aphoreo. It's used one time. In all of the New Testament. This is the only time it shows up, right? It's a special word for an important concept. Aphoreo. So it means, and what it means is, you keep your eyes focused on something and you never look away. You never look to someone or something else. You only look there. So if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer of our faith, right? So he's there at the beginning. He's there at our start. And he's our destination, right? He's the genesis of the gospel, right? And he's the destination of it. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have someone walking through all those high points, all those low points, and everything in between. And we know that every step we take with Jesus makes us more like Jesus. Because the word says you want to be like Jesus, you got to walk like Jesus walked, right? You can't walk like Jesus walked if you're walking away, right? You can't do it. We have one example, and it's perfect. He's never going to lead us astray. And so we have that. And when we remain in Jesus, walking with Jesus, we have the promise, right? The rest of Romans 5 says, perseverance produces character, character produces hope, and the hope will not disappoint us because God, through the Holy Spirit, will pour his love into our hearts. That's a promise. If we do this and this and this, then this is the promise that comes, right? Sometimes we like to read the end of the verse where the promise is, and we want to just ignore the, you know, step one, step two, and step three. Yeah, you know, those ifs, ands, and thens in Scripture. But this is one thing I can say from personal experience, is that the more you walk through with the Lord, the more trials you go through, the more pain you go through, the more he has proven himself faithful. The more you walk through with the Lord, the more secure you are in his love. And suddenly, the next hard thing that comes, it hurts, but it doesn't devastate. Because you know who you are, because you know who he is. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? This is how I view the transcendent peace of God. I was thinking about this the other day. The transcendent peace of God for me is like Jesus asleep in the bowel of the boat. Right? The winds are fierce. The waves are high. They're crashing against the boat. It's rocking back and forth. The wood seems like it's going to splinter. Right? A storm is raging. And Jesus is asleep. And how can Jesus be asleep when the circumstances are so terrifying and terrible? And it's because at no point does Jesus ever lose sight of there being a God in heaven and a Savior on earth who is in control. And in just one moment, in God's perfect timing, Jesus knows that he's about to get up and exercise his authority. Right? Yeah, and that's where we are in our lives. We have these moments where everything is raging, but Jesus is in the boat. Right? And the same one that created the land and the sea and thus commands the land and the sea is with me. And how is there any more secure place to be, right? So, my friends, let us keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what comes, right? Good or bad. Let us receive what he has for us with gratitude, knowing that it's making us better, knowing that it's making us more like him, knowing that at the end of our road, when the last page is turned and the book is closed, he would have written a story worth reading in us. We're the happy ending. Yeah. Right. Excellent. Anyway, let's pray. Oh, Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this morning, for this opportunity, for this gift that is today. Holy Spirit, I ask for the kernels of truth in your word to just take root in the soils of our heart. God, nurture it. Bring it back in mind, Lord, everything that we've heard. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just increase it. Father, let it bear fruit. Oh, Father, and I just ask you to bless every single person here, especially the ones who have been laboring over the fruit for us. Father God, just give them an extra measure of grace and love and encouragement this morning, God. And just give them a harvest from this work of service for us. And Lord, we ask you to bless this food, bless the rest of the day and the fellowship that we have with one another and ultimately with you. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.